Well, it's really good to share with you again. The last time I shared was really a kind of a testimony. I'd explained how I had been made redundant. This was last year at work after 14 years of working for an organization. They changed my job description, and what they changed it to didn't suit me really that well. So I decided to take redundancy. But I've always worked with Christian organizations, and the organization I worked for saw me going into 600 churches over 14 years and speaking. So really, I needed that break, actually. That 6 months redundancy was just what I needed. And God brought me to a new organization that I now work for, a Christian organization. Again, I do church engagement, so I go into a lot of churches. Last weekend, I was in four different churches in the north of England. Yesterday, I was in Darton in Yorkshire, just south of Leeds, north of Barnsley. Next weekend, Saturday, I'm in Orpington in Kent, Orpington Baptist Church in Kent. Sunday next week, I'm at Mighton Church in Leamington Spa. But best thing is to be on home soil this morning, which is Lichfield, where I live. Stephen asked me to take part in a series that's going to be happening here at the church, a preaching series. And today I'm kicking off that series. The theme of the series is socials is stewards. I've been tasked with speaking about social stewards, justice. And next, on the 9th of October, Kevin Davis is going to be preaching about public stewards. 16th of October, we're going to have creation stewards. And the 23rd, Stephen's, our pastor, is going to be bringing us a message about personal stewards. Really, I work for an organization that deals with persecution. Just watch this 5-minute video to give you a flavor of who and what I do. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Paul Robinson, and I'm CEO of a Christian ministry called Release International, which for more than 50 years has been called by God to love and serve persecuted Christians. Statistics vary, but it's reckoned that more than 300 million Christians around the world are being persecuted for their faith in Christ alone. Not for any crime, but for following Jesus. I'm currently visiting project work and enjoying fellowship with persecuted Christians and their leaders in East Africa and the Horn of Africa. I'm here to listen to them, to hear their needs, to pray together, and to understand how we can serve them best. I'm honored to serve Release International, and today I want to tell you something about who we are. This Christian ministry was established in response to the life, suffering, and witness of Richard Wurmbrand, a Romanian pastor who spent a total of 14 years in communist prisons for his uncompromising faith in Christ.
From 5 in the morning until 10 in the evening, 17 hours a day, we had to sit just like this. We were not allowed to lean. For nothing in the world could we rest a little bit our head. To close your eyes was a crime. 17 hours a day you had to sit like this and hear. Communism is good. 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 Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Nobody more believes in Christ. Nobody more believes in Christ. Give up. Give up. Give up. These days, weeks, years, we have to listen to these things.
His book, Tortured for Christ, first published in 1967, opened many people's eyes to the fact that Christians are being persecuted in shocking ways and on a massive scale. Richard's challenge to all Christians was straightforward. In Tortured for Christ, he wrote, "I tremble because of the sufferings of those persecuted in different lands. I tremble thinking about the eternal destiny of their torturers. I tremble for Western Christians who don't help their persecuted brethren. In the depth of my heart, I would like to keep the beauty of my own vineyard and not be involved in such a huge fight. I would like so much to be somewhere in quietness and rest. But the quietness and rest for which I long would be an escape from reality and dangerous for my soul. The West sleeps and must be awakened to see the plight of the captive nations. Release International's ministry continues to respond to that provoking challenge. Today, we love and serve persecuted Christians by raising their voice where you are in the UK and Ireland. And with your help, we give them the tools they need to live for Jesus Christ. We do all we can to call Christians like you into fellowship with them, to learn lessons of Christian discipleship with them, and always seek to maintain Christian stewardship by building the ministry and its work on solid biblical foundations. We're active in many countries, always working through trusted Christian partners on the ground as they provide prayerful, pastoral, and practical support to Christians suffering persecution, ranging from discrimination, intimidation, violence, torture, and imprisonment right through to murder, which we should call martyrdom for the sake of Christ. Our work is as varied as their needs and is designed to help families of Christian martyrs, those who are imprisoned for their faith and their families, Christians who suffer ongoing oppression and violence, and Christians who are forced to flee. At the beginning of the final chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer urges Christians to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. And then the writer urges us to continue to remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We can all begin to fulfill those words by praying for our persecuted family and by giving what we can to support Release International in its calling to love and serve persecuted Christians around the world. We are grateful to you. God bless you greatly as you love and live for Him.
So that's my boss, Paul Robinson. We actually have a lot in common. He's a tuba player. I'm a tuba player as a hobby. It's an unusual hobby, but that's what we do. I was a bit concerned when I took the job at Release International. One of the questions at the interview, what is your appetite for risk? Now, that's quite a disconcerting question. But the countries we work in, it is a real issue. We go into some really dangerous countries. I'm actually the only one, by the way, I am Alistair Duplessis. I'm the only one that actually uses my real name because I'm so well known in churches, it's difficult to change it. But many of my colleagues have to use pseudonyms to protect them when they go abroad. The world is a difficult place. Now, there's a quote I want to share with you called by Richard Stearns. It's called The Hole in Our Gospel. It says this: there is much at stake. The world we live in is under siege. 3 billion are desperately poor. 1 billion hungry. Millions are trafficked in human slavery. 10 million children die needlessly each year. Wars and conflicts are wreaking havoc. Pandemic diseases are spreading. Ethnic hatred is flaming and terrorism is growing. And that is not even to mention persecution of Christians and countless other issues. Over 300 million Christians worldwide, 1 in 7. The figure is reckoned to be actually about 360 million Christians living in persecution. Now, that really sounds, what I've just shared with you, a really gloomy quote, isn't it? I don't want to burden any of you. And the antidote to that is what we were singing earlier. How great is our God? Let me share with you something here. Jesus healed the sick, loved the poor, touched the leper, stood up for the down and out, forgave the sinner, condemned the religious hypocrites, dined with prostitutes and corrupt tax collectors, challenged the wealthy and powerful, fought for justice for the oppressed, defiled his culture, renounced materialism, demonstrated that greatness is found in serving, and then died that others might live. These actions performed by one man changed the world. these same actions, when carried out by us, his followers, still change the world today. If you can put up the slide with my key scripture on it. There's one thing I want you to remember today, it's this particular verse, Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man and woman, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. If you memorize one Bible verse this year, just one, why not make it this one? God has called us to be the salt and light of the world. Let's do that just where he has placed us. You know, Litchfield is a lovely place to live. I enjoy living in Litchfield. But there are many people who are coming into the town with, we've had Ukrainian refugees fleeing the situation in Ukraine. In my particular road in Litchfield, we've had an influx of Hong Kong folk moving in. And I don't know if you remember Boris Johnson allowed 300,000 Hong Kongers to come into the UK, basically to escape Chinese oppression. Some are moving into my road, and I've made a real effort to reach out to them, to befriend them. Because imagine, these are people who've left behind a certain kind of living. They speak Cantonese as their first language. They seem to be very highly skilled, highly educated people, given up their language. The food is alien to them. They've come to and settled here in Litchfield. I've seen quite a lot. And I've made a real effort to reach out to them, befriended them. One day I was sitting in Beacon Park with my daughter, and she was busy playing there. And I saw a little group of Hong Kongers, and I recognized some of them as my neighbors. And they were sitting there speaking Cantonese, and I thought, I'm going to make a real effort. And I said to them, can I come and sit with you? Of course, they immediately switched to speaking English, and they really appreciated the effort that somebody said, I want to come and just be with you. You're different to me. You're speaking a different language, but I want to come and show solidarity with you. We need to reach out to people who are different to us sometimes. God has called us, his church, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to take his justice and mercy into the world, to minister to the lost, the poor, and the broken. Next slide, please. The example of Jesus. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. You know, I speak about one church minister. I'll give you an example. One church minister recently said to me, you know, persecution of Christians is a really gloomy topic. I'm not sure if we do gloomy in our church. I said, well, do you never speak about poverty? It's gloomy. Do you never, what do you do about Good Friday? That's pretty gloomy. Good Friday, what happens afterwards is great, isn't it? Christ rose from the dead, but Good Friday is gloomy. Some of the things we have to deal with in life are gloomy and difficult and should be talked about and thought about and prayed about. Jesus showed compassion towards social outsiders, towards the poor, towards the oppressed, towards the excluded. When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, the Bible says, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8, verses 1 to 3. There's a lot of other scripture that I can share with you. Time marches on, so I can't share too much, but there's a lot of other scripture there. Next slide, please. Jesus advocated for the poor. You know, I used to work at one time for the Salvation Army, and I was also in ministry in various places. I was a pastor in Italy. I used to preach in Italian, and they have this motto, Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. Practical Christianity, when you see somebody who's in a bad place, rather than just preaching to them, doing something practical to help them. Jesus had a heart of compassion for those who were poor and reached out to them. Worldwide, the statistics are staggering. Rising global inequality, shock of food prices after the pandemic, the war in Ukraine exacerbating things. One crisis after another, 860 million people could be living in extreme poverty on less than $1.90 a day, about £2 a day or so, by the end of this year. Sorry, about £1.70, I think, at the moment. Global hunger, the number of undernourished people could reach 827 million in 2022. I can go on giving you depressing statistics, and they are depressing. I've got a lot of them here in front of me. 2 million children trafficked into sex slave. 85 million child laborers forced to do dangerous work. 1 in 7 Christians facing persecution for their faith. Persecution can mean death. I'm being sent to Nigeria in January next year. That's an incredibly dangerous place to be a Christian at the moment. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. 6,000 Christians were murdered last year that we know about, martyred for their faith. 75% of those were in Nigeria, and many of them in just one state, which is Plateau State, which is actually where I will be going. And we work with partners there on the ground. We've just done some training in Nigeria, helping pastors with safety issues, what to do if you hijacked, what to do if your church is besieged by Islamic extremists carrying weapons. It's dangerous out there, and it's difficult, and many Christians around the world are suffering. But Jesus had a heart for the oppressed. Next slide, please. Jesus released the oppressed. And the next slide, please. The next one, please. Jesus embraced excluded children. The Bible says, then he took the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. Children, youth, very important. I came to faith in a church in Durban in South Africa. And the teaching that I received at church affected me and changed me for the rest of my life. So vital what young people receive. So the work that Connor is doing and those names that you've been given, vital that we support them in prayer. Pray for them. Vital that we reach out to young people because they are the church of tomorrow. Jesus, next slide please, challenges us to do something. This is the bit where I come to Christianity with its sleeves rolled up. You know, William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army in 1865, was preaching in the East End of London. They'd put up a great big tent outside the Blind Beggar pub in London. You can still go and visit it today. If ever you're in London and you happen to be in Whitechapel Road, probably an unlikely a road you'll ever go to. But if you do, there's the Blind Beggar pub there. And William Booth put up a big tent, a massive marquee. And you know what? It was winter. The marquee was put on top of a slab of ice. And people, homeless people, drunkards, poor people, people who were working in the workhouses came along. And William Booth was about to preach a sermon, looked down at his congregation and noticed that there were feet, bare feet on the slab of ice. And he turned around and said, no, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. We must do something practical to help them. And they put shoes on their feet. Hence, the Salvation Army social action came out of that. Sometimes we have to do something practical to help people. You know, this church is quite good. I notice you've done lots of appeals for the food bank, and you're trying to help socially in practical ways. That's really important. Jesus challenges us to do something. The parable of the Good Samaritan, you've got the reference up there, teaches us that anyone and everyone in need is our neighbor, and we are called to reach out and do something to help them. Christianity, without its sleeves rolled up, is not really that effective and doesn't reach people. Sometimes it has to be, and often it has to be, with its sleeves rolled up. God is calling us to do something. Justice and mercy for the poor and need. And I'm not just thinking abroad at the moment. Even here in our own society, there are people who struggle. In our own community, people who struggle, people who rely on the food bank, people who don't know how to make ends meet. And increasing anxiety has been, as we're aware of, coming out of the cost of living situation. So there's anxiety around that. Let us have hearts of compassion for those who are struggling. The call to follow the example of Jesus. Next slide, please. 1 Peter 2 verse 21 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps. Final slide, please. So how can we do things practically? The first thing is, next slide, please. The first thing is to learn. You know, ignorance is not an excuse. My job is to go into churches and inform them about Christian persecution, situations around the world, the problems in China, the problems in North Korea, the problems people are facing in Iraq and Iran, people in Lebanon facing problems, Christians being killed in Plateau State in Nigeria, etc. I could go on and on. But we've got to learn, be willing to learn. Out of sight and out of mind just does not wash us Christians. When you know, if we say to God one day, well, you know, that was not my problem. How does that sit with the parable of the Good Samaritan, where we are taught that anybody in need, whether they're here, there, or far away, those are our neighbors. We need to learn. You can... There's plenty of websites, Christian organizations doing work to relieve poverty, both in this country and abroad, and other organizations. Read Christian responses to poverty and suffering. There are lots of good books out there. Visit a website. If you want to find out about Christian persecution, go to Release International website. There's others as well, to find out about what is happening to Christians around the world. You know, there's a church, a homeless church at the moment, called the Mayflower Church. 65 members of the Mayflower Church in China came under increasing pressure from the Chinese state to conform to the state religion, which is basically communism is everything, and Christianity, well, that's down there somewhere. They refused to be cowed by the Chinese government. And eventually they had to flee. They were told they would be forced out, incarcerated, thrown into prisons with the Uyghurs if they didn't cooperate. And their children would be taken out of Christian schools and put into state schools. They fled, first of all, to South Korea. They're currently in Thailand. A church of 65, the entire congregation had to flee out of China. Christians are running for their lives around the world. We're helping people all the time. To escape from one country to another in order to basically to stay alive in many cases. Keep yourself aware of what's going on in the world. Follow websites. Out of sight and out of mind is just not good enough. Pray. pray. Here's a quote for you. Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, once prayed, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." Jesus' heart was continually moved to compassion as he encountered the lame, the sick, the widow, and the orphan. Practical. Be practical. Do something. Volunteer. Volunteer locally. Volunteer at the food bank if they require help. Contribute. Contribute to the local food bank. Give as if your own life depended on it. Take a short-term mission trip if you can. We do trips abroad, so if anybody at some point wants to accompany me, I won't take you to the most dangerous countries, I promise. I won't take you to North Korea, I promise. But we do short-term mission trips abroad, and there's other things you can do. Take part in things that Christian charities do to raise funds and awareness of suffering in the developing world. Give generously of your money to the poor. Speak up, lobby, advocate. Become an advocate to stand up against poverty, injustice, human trafficking. I've been tasked with the heavy side of things today, which is justice. I hope you don't go away burdened by what I share. But what I want to tell you is, ultimately, God is in control and he will have his way. How great is our God. So don't go away burdened by everything I've shared with you, because there are a lot of problems in the world. Go away encouraged that God is in control and he will have his way. May God bless you.